Today on Real Radio.
So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And here we come. This is it. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his series through the book of Joshua. Now, the last 11 verses of chapter 6 take a look at the account of Joshua and the people of Israel entering and taking Jericho after that wall miraculously fell down in front of them. Now, only a very specific handful of the city's people were to be spared. Who were those people? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called A Matter of Life or Death.
Can you imagine if somebody walked in and the scripture says there, oh, you're all going except John, except Mike, except Kathy or whoever. That would be so frightening. But the fact of the matter is Kathy, John, or whoever's got a chance to get on board. Rod Stewart sang a song a couple years ago, People Get Ready, This Train's A-Comin'. Well, that's an old hymn. It's picking up passengers from coast to coast, and it's bound for his land, glory. The big question is, are you going to get on board? Or are you going to let the train go on by? Rahab got on board, so to speak, by faith. Could the entire city have received God? Absolutely yes, but they refused him. So judgment comes. But even in the midst of this judgment, there's mercy. And look what it says here. Don't you love this? I don't know about you, but you ever struggle with sin? You laughed, but three of you raised your hand, you bunch of liars. We struggle with sin. Can you imagine? Look, it says right here, in the Bible. There's no hiding it. Rahab the harlot. Now, if we had it our way, it'd say, Rahab the harlot dies. But God has it his way. Rahab the harlot what? Lives. All of a sudden we all qualify. Rahab is no better than those in the city of Jericho, and she's no worse than those in Jericho. She could have been possibly the worst one in Jericho. Knowing God's wonderful nature, she probably was. She's going to be saved. Mercy. Verse 18. There's a warning about the coming judgment that we live separated lives. It says, and you, that's the children of Israel, by all means abstain. Don't get anywhere near the accursed things, lest you become accursed. When you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Now, sad to say, in chapter 7, this terrible announcement is going to be fulfilled because someone's going to blow it. Why? Why this warning? It says, lest you be accursed when you take of the accursed things. This lets you in, a little snapshot, into the city of Jericho. They were extremely pagan, and you and I have no idea how bad. They, in that culture, sacrificed their children to idols. Their firstborn child that was born. Just think, husband, wife, mother-to-be, you're pregnant. 9 months you carry that child. That child is born and that child is taken at its birth by the high priest of these pagan cults and marched over to these burning altars and that child screaming placed upon it. Gods of pleasure, gods of sex, gods of wealth. Interestingly, today, some 4,000 children a week are being sacrificed on the altar of pleasure by abortion today. This kid is an interruption in my life. I don't have any room for it. Put it upon the altar. It was a pagan city, a pagan place, a pagan nation. They had temple rites and rituals where they practiced very bizarre sex. Not only homosexuality, which God says is an accursed thing, it is an abomination to God, but also bestiality. There were people having sex with animals. Archaeological discoveries show us that they have carvings of this culture when they show these people engaged in intercourse with animals. Sick, freakish things that when the human soul is left to itself without God and without God's standard of holiness and righteousness to be there as a pillar, men left to themselves are destroyed. And the scripture says here that whatever is in that city is to be consecrated to God, and you stay away from it. Why? Because it was a dangerous thing. They had idols, which unfortunately they don't heed the warning, and they wind up bowing down to later on in these chapters of this great book, and destruction comes to Israel because they would bow down to these idols and begin to mimic what the idol portrays. Do you understand what I'm saying? If the idol showed a man with a man, then that's what they practiced in this worship. If it showed a woman with a woman, that's what they practiced. Do you hear me? We don't have them carved out so much anymore. We have them printed up in pictures. It's called pornography, and interestingly enough, the word in the Hebrew is the same word now in the Greek written in your Bible, pornea. Pornography. It destroys a soul much earlier than it destroys a family. Ask any man or any woman who's bent on pornography. They're destroyed on the inside. They're dying, and their family's dying. God says, I'm warning you, live a separate life from these idols. Don't even get near them. Why? Because he doesn't want them to have any fun? Are you kidding? Don't take those idols home because you could have some fun. Oh, no. Don't take those idols home. It'd kill you. Don't let that in your house. Watch out for cable. Cable? Who needs cable anymore? Look at the stinking TV advertisements. Insane world we live in. But now if you make a statement, well, take the TV out of your house if that's your problem. What? I can't come back to this church anymore. Why? The pastor said I should take the TV out of my house. Isn't that fun? People sitting around this blue idol, it's glowing in the night. You know, and it's funny, people can just be having the greatest time and then it's on. Get thee behind me. Idols, watch out. Is that where you spend your time? Whatever you spend your time in front of and whatever dictates and governs your life is an idol. Be careful. There's idols in our lives. It says in verse 19, but all the silver, all the gold, the vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Now gold and silver, that, by the way, speaks of the idols and also jewelry that they would wear. They had even their idols carved out and worn upon them around their neck or on their fingers. And again, amazingly, the archaeological evidence of this is overwhelming, how people would carry their little gods with them around their necks. Some of them, there were gods that would protect them against evil. Some of the gods around their neck or on their fingers would protect them against bad health. Various gods, it would protect them against the gods of certain evils. Isn't that funny? If they had that thing around their neck, they deemed themselves safe. An idol. That's nice to wear a cross, but that cross is not going to protect you. I think people, Christians, should wear a cross for this reason. That God might use it as an open door of witnessing. Well, that's all the cross is good for. Hanging around your neck. Somebody says, oh, are you a Christian? That's right, are you? By the way, everything that's of value, so to speak, in this portion of Scripture returns back to God, and eventually everything returns back to God. Even your soul returns back to its maker, says Ecclesiastes. The man in the jungle of South America, everything he has, including himself, will return back to his maker. The businessman on Wall Street, the wife in Florida, all of it. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, the Bible says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It's a matter of life or death where we direct our affections and worship and what we believe in. Look at the second point. The second point is in verses 20 to 21, and that is God's enemies will come to an end. It's a fact, they will. He takes no delight in it, but it's the choice of men. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And here we come, this is it. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. That is, wherever the wall fell down, wherever he was at that moment in the circle around it, he went straight in like the spokes on a wheel toward the hub. And they took the city and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city. Listen, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. And this is what Madeline Murray O'Hare read and said, that's it. I'll have nothing to do with God. In fact, he cannot exist. Listen carefully to this. God's enemies will come to an end. But why the children? Why the animals? I can understand God judging the moms and the dads or the husbands and wives. They're adults. They're older. They're responsible for their actions. Why the younger? The Bible says that God weeps over the death of the wicked. He does not have pleasure in this. Well, then what's happening here? Is there a fiery God of the Old Testament, but not of the New? Understand this clearly. The city of Jericho, as I mentioned, was given over to strange and bizarre sexual worship. It had even polluted the children. It had even, as we mentioned earlier, polluted the animals. There was something going on in this culture, because throughout various attacks of the nation Israel upon other nations in the Old Testament, there are times when God would say, kill them all, put everything in a heap, and burn it. Then there are times when God would say, kill the soldiers, or kill the adults, or whatever the case might be, or take them captive. Why? It's interesting to find out that with the cultures that God condemns to absolute annihilation are cultures that practice bizarre sexual corruption and were no doubt infected by bizarre diseases. How do you eradicate the earth and the area from these destructive diseases? By burning. This is a hard thing. Aren't you glad that we're not God? Not that he's wicked, but that righteous judgment, because he's holy, has to be given, and you and I can't understand it. I'm sure it hurts him much more than it does our questioning and doubts and fears about it. But how terrible is this in relation to an eternal end when someone dies without Christ? You see, that's why we want to evangelize the world. We don't want them to go to an eternal destruction. Do you understand? If you don't feel like telling people about Jesus, then pull out your checkbook and send money to missionaries. But do something and rescue them from the coming fire. Now, the fact is, God's enemies will always come to an end, to such an extent that we can't even understand an innocent child. An innocent child, yes, but inside that child, in his bloodstream, in his biology, he is horribly corrupted from the culture that he has been brought up in. When God told of Noah, he said there in Genesis, Noah was the only one perfect in his generation. That's how it plays out in the English. In the Hebrew, it states that Noah was the only one who was genetically pure. What happened to those who were impure? The flood washed them away. God says in Romans chapter 1 that women reject the natural use of a man. Do I need to elaborate on that? And they went after other women. and men, rejecting the normal use of a woman, went after other men, doing that which is unseemly, ungodly. Men with men, it says there in Romans 1, women with women. And listen to what it says. It's scientific language. And they received within themselves their due reward. Internally corrupt. Something happened. There's a judgment. God is not judging this city of Jericho because he's angry. God is judging them because men were wicked and they failed to bow to God and follow him. Rahab, remember, was a harlot. Did God supernaturally heal her of something or some things within her? I don't know. I just know that God had a wonderful plan for Rahab. You know, from her came Jesus Christ. Did you know that? She's going to marry a Jewish boy called Salmon. Salmon and Rahab, they're going to give birth to a boy. You know what his name is? Boaz. Boaz is going to fall in love with a cute little Gentile girl by the name of Ruth. Ruth's going to give birth to, eventually, as it goes down in its genealogy, to Jesse. Jesse is going to give birth, or the wife of Jesse is going to give birth to a guy by the name of David, whom Jesus came from, the son of David, Jesus. Aren't you glad how good God can redeem? Have you and I fallen into sin? Is the judgment looming over us? Remember Rahab. By faith, she was justified. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31 says, by faith, she was forgiven. The Bible says that in Romans 6, 23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Sin results in death and judgment, but coming to Christ delivers us. Let's keep going with this. Third point is in verses 22 to 25, a matter of life or death. We saw, first of all, that rejecting God will cost you everything. Secondly, we saw that God's enemies will come to an end. And thirdly, we see that God's grace shines in the face of judgment. God's grace shines in the face of judgment. It says in verse 22, but Joshua had said, go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her. And the young men who had been the spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. Little evangelist she was, huh? So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city, all that was in it, with fire, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. She dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers from Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. We'll come to this in a moment. Back to verse 22. God's grace shines in the face of judgment. Don't forget it. It's God's nature. He loves it. Judgment's coming. He turns on the grace. It says in verse 22, but Joshua had said to the two men, notice this, that the evil that was associated with Rahab was done away regarding its due judgment. The evil that was of the city was just as equal to Rahab's, but they received the judgment. The entire wall, you see how it appears in your scripture in singular form, the wall fell down as in one piece, except there's a divine intervention here, because there appears to be the implication that her house stood up while all the other walls fell down. Judgment was at her door, but it was passed over. Do you remember why? the scarlet cord hanging out of her window. The scarlet rope. The Hashani Tikva, the scarlet hope. In Hebrew, the red hope. Hanging out of her window, blowing in the breeze, was this scarf or this rope blowing. And in Hebrew, it's the scarlet hope. This red cord. And upon her home, no judgment fell. In verse 23, it says, and the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father and her mom and brothers and everything that she had, even her relatives. And they left them outside the camp. That's not a mean thing. They didn't leave them outside the camp just to be mean. Stay outside the camp. You can't camp out with us. There's nothing to go home to. Everything was destroyed. But why did they have to stay outside the camp? Just simply this. The men, even though they were Gentiles, they couldn't come into the camp of Israel until they were what? Very good. Circumcised. That's what God had decreed. Why? Do you think these people were converted to God? Oh, I think so. Or else it would have read, and Rahab, she was brought out, her mom and brothers. But her dad was left behind, you know. Oh, they believed. They came to trust in the God of Israel. They were delivered because of the scarlet hope that she had tied in her window. God was faithful. The scarlet hope. Listen to this. In Psalm 22, verse 1, the Bible says, my God, the messianic psalm of Christ, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear me. And in the night seasons, and I am not silent, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you, and you delivered them. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. Listen, many Hebrew scholars say that when Jesus was on the cross in Israel, when he said, remember, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Fulfilling the Messianic psalm, which he had to utter. Many of the scholars believe he quoted the entire psalm, which makes sense. Why? He was hanging on a what? A cross made out of what? Wood. Even one of the gospels says that they crucified him on a tree. When Jesus says, I am a worm, the Hebrew word is tolaf. And the word tolaf in Hebrew is this. It's a scarlet worm. It's red in crimson color. It's a grub. You know what a grub is? A grub is a horrible looking bug that lives in the ground. And this grub, this worm, when it comes time to propagate its young, you know what it does? It comes out of the ground, out of the earth. He came from heaven to earth. He calls himself, Jesus does, a worm.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, in a study called A Matter of Life or Death, it's a look at the last 11 verses of chapter 6 of Joshua, which tell the account of Joshua and the people of Israel entering and taking over Jericho after that wall miraculously fell down before them. A Matter of Life or Death is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through this incredible Old Testament book, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, have you had a chance to visit realradioactive.org lately? Of course, you can hear past editions of Real Radio, but you can also subscribe to Words to the Wise. Now, Words to the Wise is Pastor Jack's devotional. You're going to love it. You can listen to it online. You can also receive them via email if you'd like. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is 1-877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.